Welcome to the Home Base Travel Agent Show. I'm Barry Kantz, your host. This is show number 261 for August 8th, 2010. The music in this podcast is provided by the IOTA Alliance. And the song you're listening to is Dance Class Boogie. And it's by William Goldstein. Once again, I'm Barry Kantz, your host for the Home Base Travel Agent Show, and I want to thank you for listening. And if you're subscribing to the show, thank you very much. I really appreciate your effort to go out there and subscribe to the show and get it every week. I appreciate that. And if you'd like to get a hold of me and talk about the show or give us suggestions or whatever, drop me an email at Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at hometravelagent.net. Well, once again, thanks for stopping by the show. And, you know, I like to mention that we do play music on the show at the intro. It gives the show a little bit of variety and it helps to expose some artists that otherwise wouldn't be heard anywhere else. And you can listen to the full song, typically, at the end of the show. And if you don't want to listen to the full song at the end of the show, you can just shut the podcast off at that point in time and be on your way if you're not interested in that particular song or not interested in the music. And if you go over to the website at www.hometravelagent.net, you'll find a website that's full of information and many different ways to get at the information. And the information in particular is the show. And what we do, we have the show tagged with various topic tags, and you can click on those tags and the shows that are tagged with that topic, which quite often there are many shows for each tag. You'll get those shows so you can target your listening if you want to go back and listen to the archives. Also, there's a tab at the top of the website that is called the Honor Roll, and the Honor Roll, once you click on that tab, you'll see the guests on many of the past shows, many of the recent past shows. And you can see which show that they have participated in. And, you know, all the people that we have on the show as guests are not our sponsors. We don't take any money from them to be on the show. What we do require, however, is for them to have an interesting product, destination, or whatever to talk to you about, the home-based travel agent or the regular travel agent, or if you're interested in the travel business, that's what the show is all about. But we do have one paid sponsor, and that's from the Citrix Corporation. And I know you've heard me talk about GoToMeeting before. You know, it's the easiest and most convenient way to host online meetings from your PC and from your Mac. Now, there's exciting news. Now you can even take it to go on the iPad tablet. You know, with the iPad, GoToMeeting, which is brought to you by Citrix, has a free app built specifically for the iPad. And this makes online meetings more accessible than ever. You know, you can just put that iPad in your lap or in your hands, no matter where you are, as long as you have a Wi-Fi connection, and you can connect to a meeting through GoToMeeting. Now, with GoToMeeting on your iPad, as I said, you can attend online meetings on the go, just about anywhere, at a cafe, at a hotel, wherever you are. Just download the GoToMeeting app and join sessions on your iPad tablet in seconds. Now, when you do that, you'll see the host's computer screen on your iPad screen, and you can connect to the audio through your iPad or over the phone. So you can see what's going on, and you can hear what's going on and actually participate in the meeting. So my listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. Yep, that's 45 days for free. And to take advantage of this special offer, just visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/podcast. Okay, with that, what I want to do is get right into the co-hosted segment. I know you're going to really like this one today. And after the co-hosted segment, I have three news items that should be of some interest to you, so stick around for that. So here we go, right on into the co-hosted segment for this week. Welcome, everybody, to the co-hosted segment of the Home-Based Travel Agent Show. And we're here with you once again with Laureen Romero and a guest. And I will leave it up to Laureen, as I usually do, to introduce our guest. And happy to have this guest on because both Laureen and I are passionate about animals,
Me in particular, dogs, and Laureen in particular, cats, but we both like all animals. So, Laureen, take it away.
There you go. And ironically, the person we're going to be interviewing doesn't have a lot of small animals where he works, but it's actually a very interesting place that I have visited and I'm passionate about. And our job here at the Home Based Travel Agent Podcast is to educate fellow travel agents about places to send their clients. And when I was up in the Anchorage area last year, I brought a group of clients to this place and it just totally touched their hearts. And we have mentioned it on past podcasts. And today we have Ethan Tyler, who is the Director of Business Development, on with us. And he's going to talk about the Alaska Wildlife Conservation Center. And it's a wonderful place. And I really hope that every one of our listeners has the opportunity to go there and visit it themselves. If they are not, please be sure to send your clients there. It's going to be a once-in-a-lifetime event, and they're going to come out of it having their hearts touched. So I'd like to turn it over to Ethan and welcome you to the show. And Ethan, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and the Alaska Wildlife Conservation Center?
Great. Well, thank you very much for having me on. It's a pleasure to work with you guys and definitely a pleasure to share a little bit about the Wildlife Center with your guests. The Wildlife Center, well, I'll start with myself, actually. I was born and raised in Maine, and I've kind of skied my way across the country. I lived in Colorado for several years and moved up to Alaska, kind of following where I could find the deepest snow because I am a pretty passionate skier. And I live in Girdwood, which is about 40 miles south of Anchorage. But interestingly enough, it's still within the municipality of Anchorage. The municipality of Anchorage is actually about the size of Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty big place. And Girdwood is home to Alyeska Resort. And they have an excellent year-round destination. They have just fantastic skiing. About 1,000 acres of skiable terrain. And so I found myself here and certainly love living here. And one of the things that I visited when I first got to town before I ever worked there was the Wildlife Conservation Center. And it's down the road from Girdwood, another 10 miles. And before it was the Wildlife Conservation Center, it was actually known as Big Game Alaska, and it was run as a for-profit business. The mission was pretty similar. Our mission today is that we take in injured and orphaned animals from the wild and we rehabilitate them for release. In the case where we're not able to release them back into the wild, we do provide them a permanent home, or we work with wildlife agencies to find them a home in the lower 48 in zoos or similar facilities. But it was one of the first places I visited when I first moved up here, and I was pretty amazed. They had a recently discovered brown bear that had been found up in northwestern Alaska, up near Kotzebue, near Hugo Mountain. And this bear had porcupine quills. It was a cub at the time. It had porcupine quills all in its paws and in its mouth and face. And it was dehydrated and starving. And some hunters had found it. And they'd worked with the Department of Fish and Game and up here in Alaska and had actually worked it out so they could bring the bear down to the Wildlife Center. And so that was actually the first brown bear that the Wildlife Center ever got. And she still lives with us at the center. And her name is Hugo because she was found on Hugo Mountain. Mm-hmm. And she was nursed back to health and given a permanent home at the center.
So Hugo is your mascot.
She's one of our mascots. We over the years we have acquired a few other bears, and over those years we turned ourselves into a nonprofit, a 501c3, and our mission is the conservation of Alaska's wildlife through conservation education and quality animal care. And so we work really closely with the Department of Fish and Game. Anytime there's an orphaned or injured animal, we do bring that animal into our care. And like I said, we nurse them back to health, and we either give them a home at the center, or we facilitate a home for them somewhere in the lower 48. We're located.
That's okay. One of the things that really touched me about your facility is the wide range of animals. And it was obvious that several of them had visibly been touched by humans, which made me really sad. But what really made me happy about your facility is the fact they're safe from other humans now, and they can live in the wild, and they can carry on productive lives and not have to worry about human intervention anymore. So tell us a little bit more about what different types of animals that you have there. And you said part of the goal is to be able to release them to zoos and other facilities in the lower 48. What kind of percentage is that? Or do most of them stay there?
Well, I would say that we do receive a fair number of moose calves every summer or every spring, and those pretty typically get released back into the wild. We do have a couple of moose calves that went down to the Vancouver Zoo last year, and they're thriving. We had three grizzly bears that stayed with us for a little over a year and a half, and they actually went down to the Minnesota Zoo. And the Minnesota Zoo actually spent about, I want to say it was about $10 million on the exhibit that they have down there. So they're really well taken care of wherever they go, and that's one of our big policies, is that we just want to make sure that they'll be well taken care of. But you did bring up kind of a good point. You know, we have all of our animals in enclosures that are really large. And it's what we call healthy habitat. And it's very dissimilar from any zoo that you'll visit. We have three brown bears, and those three brown bears are in an enclosure of about 17 acres. And that's pretty typical for most of the animals that we have down there, 17 to 25 acre enclosures. But we do have, we have three moose, we have a herd of caribou, we have a herd of elk, Rocky Mountain elk, and we have a muskox herd, we have a couple of black bears, and we have a pretty large herd of wood bison, and that may be something we want to touch on a little bit. We're involved with a restoration project. Wood bison were thought to be extinct several years ago, and they were found, there was a small herd found in Canada, and we've been part of a project to reintroduce them into the wild again. So we have a herd of just over 100, wood bison. But one of the animals that we have that's pretty unique is a porcupine. And I don't know if you guys have you seen word of our porcupine recently?
No.
No, I saw the video on your website. That's amazing.
Yeah, he's quite a character. And, you know, we do really focus on education at the Wildlife Center. And this guy is kind of a dream come true for that. He was actually raised by a family north of Anchorage as a dog. He was taken in from the wild, and he played with the kids. He lived in the house, and it was just really interesting. But, you know, the law here is that you cannot take wild animals into captivity. Mm-hmm. And so he was confiscated by Fish and Game. And because he couldn't be reintroduced back into the wild, he has a permanent home with us. But his name is Snickers, and we're awfully fond of him. He's a gregarious little guy, and he does actually act like a puppy. And the video that we're referencing is on YouTube, and if you search porcupine on YouTube, you'll find it. It's a video of him pretty much chasing his tail and playing with the girl that's handling him. And last week that video went viral, and you have to be careful when you say something went viral when you're talking about one of your animals. But the video went viral, and it went from around 400 views to, we're up to around 1,160,000 views. And wow. that was in about a week.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it's pretty fun when you see that stuff happening, and you can kind of catch it on the ground floor and watch it go and play with it as it grows. But we do use him for a lot of educational programs and some of our visitor programs as well. We have a facility where we teach classes and whatnot, and he's able to come in there and interact with the students and some of the tour groups that we have come through.
Which is wonderful, because honestly, how many of us are ever going to be able to say, yes, I've been this close to a porcupine? I mean, porcupines are cute, but I don't know about you, but after watching this video, I went, oh my goodness, he really does think he's a puppy.
Yeah, that's pretty
and
funny.
And he's friendly, and he wants to mm-hmm. run, not realizing that, ow.
Yeah, exactly.
The video that we're talking about can also be found on your website. Could you give your web address so that our listeners can also go take a look, too?
Yeah, absolutely. It's www.alaskawildlife.org, and Alaska Wildlife is all spelled out. And we do maintain that website pretty closely, so there are always really recent updates. If we've taken in any orphaned or injured animals, there's always a link to little updates on those animals and on our interns and the intern program that we have at the center, too. So that website is updated really frequently.
And it is really interesting, because it is a way for people to be able to go and see wildlife. Because a lot of times when people are traveling, they're on a cruise, and often they don't have the opportunity to see real wildlife. You know, Juneau's a wonderful port town and all, but that's what it is. It's a port town. And being able to have your customers spend a little bit more time on land, do a night for your post, I'd highly recommend for them to go to Anchorage and to make the effort to be able to go to the Alaska Wildlife Conservation Center. It just makes the whole package get wrapped up. You see wildlife, you're able to experience it. It's a wonderful facility. What else should our listeners know about your place?
Well, it is, I think you really hit on something. You know, it's about 45, 50 miles down the road from Anchorage. So it's just super convenient. If your cruise ship is getting off, or if you're getting off of a cruise ship in either Seward or Whittier, which are the two main ports where people disembark in Alaska, you have to fly out, and we are pretty much on the way to the airport. So it's a guaranteed wildlife sighting, and it's super convenient. You know, you do always hope that you'll see an animal in the wild at a distance anyway. And but that's certainly never guaranteed. And, you know, I've had visitors up, and we've been looking for a moose the entire time that they've been here, and haven't found one. And I went and dropped them off at the airport. And on the way home, I had to dodge three on the highway. And that's just kind of the way it is sometimes. But we definitely provide that guaranteed wildlife sighting. So if you're missing seeing them in the wild, you can definitely stop by and be sure you'll get a glimpse of some of the wildlife that Alaskans come up to see.
Now, I know tending and caring for wildlife can be expensive. Tell us a little bit about how people can help. While they go visit, there's a gate charge. If you could talk about that a little bit. Are there other ways that people can help support the conservation center?
Yeah, definitely. You're right. It is an expensive proposition to care for about 150 animals, all of them relatively large. We're very fortunate. We have a really good base of supporters here in Alaska and actually across the country and worldwide. We do survive on donations. We get grants from philanthropic organizations, but really what we depend on the most is the admission fees and the gift store revenues that we get from our guests. And the admission fees, it's $10 per person. If you're in a car with, you know, four or five people, there's a maximum charge of $30 per car. So it's pretty affordable to get in. So we definitely depend on volume. And then once people get in, we certainly hope that they'll pick something up at our gift store. There are ways to make donations while you're at the center. But one of my favorite things, and one of the things that I always encourage our visitors to do, is become members. It's really inexpensive to be a member. It's only $60 to become a member, and that membership gets you a quarterly newsletter as well as some additional benefits, especially while you're in state, some discounts on some of the local activities. And it gets you once every 2 month e-newsletter as well. So, and plus it also gives you free admission into the center for a year. So that's what I really love to get people involved in, is that membership program, because it does give them even after they go home, they still have that membership, and they can be sure that they keep in touch with us and find out all the fun things that go on at the center. And actually, you can be a member. You can sign up for membership on our website, which again is www.alaskawildlife.org. And if you click on the support tab on the website, you can follow the steps and become a member.
Now, this is great. It's definitely a worthwhile cause, and something that's very unique in Alaska, and to be able to help support the wildlife, be able to view them, and it's very well maintained. While we were there for hours and had a wonderful time. Gift shop is very fun and had a lot of unique things, and the group that I was with helped support your cause and brought home a lot of different things, which was wonderful to see. They had fun getting them on the airplane.
Sure.
But it is a really good cause, and I'm glad you are able to be on the show today. Barry, did you have any questions that came to mind while Ethan and I were doing this portion?
Yeah, I was just curious I'm wondering if you have any webcams, live webcams of anything going on at the Wildlife Center.
You know, that is an excellent question. We don't at this point, but we are working on setting something like that up. Absolutely.
Yeah, great. Because, you know, I used to enjoy watching the Eagle Cam. I don't know if any of you guys remember that, but you could watch eagles mm-hmm. nesting and go there at any time of the day or night and see what they're doing. And that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and, you know, it's kind of like that membership thing. You know, it really, once you've gone home and you're kind of sifting through your pictures and the things that you brought home with you, it really, you're like, oh, you know, this is a webcam that you can go look at, and it's just a way to bring the place home with you for sure.
Yeah, I do that with Key West now, and then I look at the Duval Street mm-hmm. webcam.
Well, and you know, you mentioned the webcam, and it made me think of something. We are in development of a bear interpretive center at the Wildlife Center, and it's a $6 million project, and we're 1/6 of the way along in our fundraising. But we've been designing it and bringing it to the forefront of our operation. And it's going to be a one-of-a-kind facility that really brings Alaska's bears to not only the locals in Alaska and the visit, but the visitors as well. And one of the things that we've talked a lot about is actually having a remote webcam from Katmai National Park that feeds into this bear center, so you can see the bears out at Katmai as well.
Cool.
Yeah.
And with the supporting membership of $60 a year, that's $5 a month. To know that that money at $5 a month just goes to help being able to support the feeding, the care, the medical needs of the wildlife is very inexpensive and a very, very good investment. Well, thank you again, Ethan. I see you also have a Facebook and Twitter accounts. So if you don't mind going over what the URL is, as also other ways for our listeners to contact you via Facebook, Twitter, email, that would be wonderful.
Sure. Well, the very best way to link up to us on Facebook or Twitter is to go to our website, which again is alaskawildlife.org. And there are tabs on that homepage to link up to the Facebook and Twitter account. And similarly to the website, we keep those really updated and they're really fresh and current. So those are definitely the best ways to link into those social media networks. And definitely grateful to be on the show, and thanks for your time, and really appreciate your support and the support of all of your listeners.
That's great. I'm looking at your Facebook right now. You have, at this very moment, the time of recording, you have 1,696 people who like your Facebook. So hopefully we can, bring you up to well over 1,700. That would be a great goal to do that. Barry, any last-minute questions? I know you had one. I want to give you a chance for more.
Not that I can think of right now.
Okay. Ethan Tyler, Director of Business Development for the Alaska Wildlife Conservation Center. Thank you again for being on our show, and we hope we have you on a show in the near future.
Great. Thank you so much.
Barry, if our listeners want to reach you, what is a good email address for you?
Well, that email would be Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at hometravelagent.net, and on Facebook at facebook.com/Barry.Cantz. And Laureen?
Great. I can be reached at sharptongued@mac.com, and that is spelled sharptongued at mac.com. You can also find me on Facebook at Laureen R, and that's spelled L-O-R-E-N-E-R. And my YouTube account is Laureen Romero. So there you go. If you want to reach me, please do. Barry and I always get back to our listeners, and we appreciate any feedback or questions. So that's it for the co-hosted section of this week's show. Thank you, Barry. Thank you, Ethan. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Okay, thanks, Ethan. Thanks, Laureen. And Ethan, you do great work helping out the animals there up in Alaska. And I know we all appreciate that, and it's a great thing. So I appreciate it very much, being a big animal lover myself. Now, I have three news items, and the first news item, are you going on a cruise this fall? Because NOAA is still predicting a rough period for hurricanes. And this is an article that comes from the USA Today, and I'll have a link to it in the show notes. But according to the article, it says, all indications are for considerable activity during the next several months. And this is from Jerry Bell, NOAA's lead seasonal hurricane forecaster. He said, as we've seen in the past year, storms can come and go quickly during the peak months of the season. And there remains a high likelihood that the season could be very active, with the potential of being one of the most or one of the more active on record. And the researchers are basing this forecast on warmer than average water in the Atlantic and Caribbean, and among other factors. Now, I think I reported on this earlier this year, but the NOAA forecast is similar to earlier predictions, which I think I reported on from Colorado State University, who said in April that they expect 15 named storms. And the hurricane season lasts through November 30th, so we're not even close to being done with the hurricane season as of yet. So anyhow, the article says, look for some more storms. If you're cruising this fall, you may keep your eyes open on the tropical forecast. And the next article also comes from USA Today in their travel section, and I'll have a link to the article in the show notes. But the article is about JetBlue, and that JetBlue is recruiting flight attendants from New York City Police Department. So don't be surprised that on your next flight with JetBlue, that the flight attendant that you're working with is either an ex NYPD police officer or an ex firefighter, because JetBlue finds that they like to hire people that have experience in maintaining calm during emergencies and know how to handle situations that require that type of intervention. In addition to that experience in dealing with the public, they are used to working holidays and weekends, and they also know how to handle people who are in a stressful situation, and they can easily take command of an aircraft cabin because that's what they had to do when they're working the streets. So, I don't know, not a bad idea. I think that's good. Especially if you can get some ex-firefighters and ex-police officers that you know, that have a customer service attitude as well as that kind of background. Boy, I think that's a winning combination. I don't know. What do you think? Let me know. Drop me an email, barry@hometravelagent.net. Now, the next article comes from gohawaiiatabout.com, and it's about the Royal Hawaiian Resort, and they've partnered with Matson Navigation Archives to present a collection of recently discovered and rarely seen photographs of aviatrix Amelia Earhart, and these photographs document her time while she was in Hawaii. The opening of the exhibit coincided with the anniversary of Amelia Earhart's birthday on July 24th, and the photos are going to be on display in the resort's Coronet Lounge until the end of the year. Now, the collection includes 65 black-and-white photographs that document Amelia Earhart and her Lockheed Vega, a red high-wing monoplane, with the identification on the wing of NR-965-Y. Now, Amelia Earhart intended to take an east-to-west trip around the world, but that trip was aborted because her plane encountered mechanical problems when she was trying to take off from Honolulu. So it would be Miss Earhart's last visit to Hawaii. Now, her next attempt to fly around the world would be from west to east, and her plane was lost on July 2, 1937, en route from Ley, New Guinea, to Howland Islands in the South Pacific. So if Amelia Earhart fascinates you, this would be the place to go to take a look at some of the history and some of the photographs of her that have rarely been seen. And if you have clients that are going out to Hawaii before the end of the year, you might make mention to them of this exhibit, because I know a lot of people are really fascinated and interested in Amelia Earhart. So anyhow, with that, that is the news. We'll wrap the podcast up, and we'll be back next week with another show. And I hope you all do well. Until then, stay safe, stay healthy, stay safe, and we'll talk to you then. Take care now. Bye-bye.